Country Station Goober 95.1. Good morning and welcome to the Get the Scoop radio show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Studo Financial Studios, and my name is Chris Schalk. I'm Barron County's Extension Agent for Agriculture. I've got Warren County's Extension Agent for Horticulture, Miss Kristen Hildebrand, right here alongside. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
All right. So yesterday you talked to us about some insect critters.
Mm-hmm. Bugging us.
She got a shot back in, folks. Yesterday, I took one at her unexpectedly. She took one at me this morning. All right, there we go. And now we're even. Now, you talked about fall webworms, okay? Or some people call them tent caterpillars or things of that nature. So, yeah, there we go with that. And so today we're going to talk about some plant disease or plant problems that you've seen come in.
Yeah. And we get the insect issues, but then we also get the plant issues. Mm-hmm. And it seems like right now that has been basically a lot of servicing that I've been doing at the office is related to these two issues. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk about this one because I feel like it's kind of, I've never really seen it before. So maybe some of you all have never heard of it before either. But I'll just kind of give you the scenario that kind of went about. So there was a client that had sent some. It was actually with the fall webworm. She had sent this picture, and she said it's completely covered on the white pine that she had. And she thought it was a fungus, which I completely understand why she thought that, because, I mean, it looked like it was snow coming, and it's July. So anyway, I took a closer look at it, and whenever I started looking at it a little bit closer, I'm like, that's an insect. And it came back as pine bark agilid. So with this pine bark agilid, it's a serious pest with a lot of nursery, ornamental, and also landscape eastern white pine. And a lot of times it occurs here in the state. It's also a big pest in Tennessee. So, and it can also attack some other pines as well. But what particular is with this pine bark agilid is that it's covered with a white wax, and it also feeds by sucking sap from the tree. And oftentimes, it's kind of pretty much heavily coated on a branch. And so a lot of times, people will mistake that white material for a fungus. So really, it's just the pine bark agilid that is feeding. And so it's got a couple of life cycles that it goes through, from the nymph stage, where it's a little smaller, to the adult stage. So basically, what you want to do is just try to take care of it as best you can. So they do recommend that you spray the tree with some dormant oil before growth starts in the spring, and then also treat with some oil only when the temperatures remain above 40 for 24 hours following treatment. And basically, the time frame here is basically around the months of April. So if you ever have questions or you see something like that on your pine trees, whether it be white pine, says it can also occur on Scotch and Australian pines, you can give your local extension office a call. Now, this other one, folks, is related to a particular type of disease. And it's a lot of times people this time of year have sent some beautiful, I say more than one, it's dogwood powdery mildew.
Yes.
And it is so, I mean, the picture that this one guy sent was really, really pretty. Although I know people don't want that in their landscape, it was really pretty how he sent it. But the way to identify dogwood powdery mildew is it looks like somebody has just taken flour and just sprinkled it on top of the particular foliage of your plant. And powdery mildew is pretty, it's all across the board on different type of landscape trees and shrubs, but it's unique to its host plant. So if you've got powdery mildew, say, on lilac, it's lilac powdery mildew. So it's very specific to its host plant.
I saw some of that last week, some lilac powdery mildew.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just this time of year, the environment that we have, it's very
there you go.
Perfect environment for it to grow. So, you know, most of the time at this point, you know, it's kind of late on what you can do. But there's a lot of cultural practices that you can also ensure to help your plants for next year. So oftentimes, if you can provide good air movement through that canopy, sometimes, now we're talking about dogwood here, and the same thing even with lilac. But if you can prune some of those plants so that way you can help get some nice airflow and maximize that sunlight potential, that's going to be one of the best things that you can do cultural-wise for your plant. And then lastly, we saw a little bit of some iron deficiency on blueberries, which Chris, if you said earlier this week, if you do a soil test, you can avoid some of those type of issues. So if you ever have questions related to insects or diseases, reach out and contact your local extension office.
All right, Kristen, we appreciate that. Kristen's coming back tomorrow with a recipe. We're going to talk about some cucumbers, some corn, and some salsa. That sounds good.
Fiesta.
All righty. Folks, we invite you back not only tomorrow, but each and every weekday morning at 5 a.m. for Get the Scoop. Brought to you by our good friends at Farmers Regional Livestock Market and over at Hobdy Dye and Reed. Get your scoop right here on Goober 95.1.